went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, and the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those three times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost. Better keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will? Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 on top of that. And then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Huntoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Huntoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
This is Bruce Bagan from B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're proud sponsors of When Your Health Matters. Please appreciate that as a pool and spa builder, we are committed to making sure that you can get the most health benefits from owning your own hot water spa. And that's why we carry a full line of Sundance Spas, the world's leading manufacturer of hydrotherapy spas. Relaxation is one of the best ways to take care of your health. And when you own your own Sundance Spa, you can unwind at home every day in the privacy and comfort of your own home. Each Sundance Spa has dozens of precisely placed water jets to pamper you with their massaging bubbles. B&B Pool and Spa Center carries a full line of Sundance spas and is a factory-authorized warranty center. Come to B&B. You'll be amazed at how easy we make it to have your own personal hydrotherapy spa. We'll handle everything for you, so just sit back and relax. Visit the water professionals at B&B Pool and Spa Center, where we've been helping customers relax and enjoy their water since 1972. 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge, and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com, or call 888-706-4557. That's bbpoolandspa.com. Or 888-706-4557.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, that is in Pooler, Georgia. Our office is, we're in Suite 404 of Building 400. The best way to get a hold of me would be to call my cell phone. My cell phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. I give you that phone number so that if you ever have a question, you can just pick up the phone and call me directly. I will be the one answering that phone. I know a lot of you out there like to do texting. My phone does not receive texts. I personally don't like texting because then you think you're communicating with somebody when you don't even know that they got the text. So I just tell people to call me. My phone is for talking, so if you want to talk to me, you should call me on the phone. If you want to text me to my email. My email is spineboyhv, S-P-I-N-E-B-O-Y, H as in Harry, V as in Victor, at gmail.com. I'll be happy to respond to you in a email texting fashion. And the bottom line is we want to get an answer to your questions. And that's what this show is about. This show is called When Your Health Matters. It's designed to help answer the questions that you may have when your health matters. My hope is by giving you this understanding that you won't have a health issue that changes your attitude towards life and changes the way that you have to live your life. And the person that helps me deal with these questions and address the concerns that you may have, his name is Mark Sabin. He's a wonderful man. He is a patient advocate. He's there to help create clarity for you, the listener, as a potential patient. Everybody is a patient at some point. We want you to be a proactive patient as opposed to a reactive patient. And so We want to thank Mark for putting together these shows and coming up with the topics and the questions and helping create clarity for you, the listener. Again, he is your advocate, and we want to say welcome, Mark, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Well, thank you, Doc Rick. You know, every week that we get to have these conversations about healthcare, there's always things in the news that are coming up that, you know, you don't know about, or that if you're not paying attention, you may not have heard about. And one of the things that I heard about just last week was a news story that the EPA, that's the Environmental Protection Agency, will no longer limit two toxic chemicals that can be found in tap water.
They will no longer limit them?
They will no longer limit two toxic chemicals that can be found in tap water. The compounds are called PFOA and PFOS, two chemicals which have been linked to cancer, thyroid disease, and weakened childhood immunity. And as I understand it, they come from a family of highly fluorinated compounds.
So the perfluorooctanoic acid is a perfluorinated carboxylic acid produced and is used worldwide as an industrial surfactant in chemical processes and as material feedstock, and is known as an emerging health concern and subject of regulatory actions and voluntary industrial phase-outs. Customers that are served by the public water system should and can contact their local water supplier and ask for information related to the PFOA or the PFOS that's in their drinking water. And I'm encouraging you to request a copy of the Consumer Confidence Report. This report lists the levels of contaminants that have been detected in the water that you're drinking, including those by the EPA, and whether the system meets the state's EPA drinking water standards. If you are concerned about the possibility of the PFOAs and the PFOSs in your drinking water, and you should be, you are served by a private, or if you're served by a private well, EPA recommends testing your drinking water. Now, in addition, the EPA recommends that residents reach out to their local public health department for more information. The challenge is how you loaded this particular story, is that the EPA will no longer limit these two toxic chemicals found in tap water that have deleterious health effects, including thyroid disease and cancers and weakened child immunity. So that's just ridiculous.
That's crazy. I mean, there's as many as 110 million Americans who may have their water contaminated with these chemicals. And I mean, is it that the problem is just too big to tackle?
Well, at the end of the day, that's not a good excuse. That's not a good excuse at all. I have it on good authority, you being the authority, but I have it on good authority that you have a solution to some of these particular problems. And the question is how do you get the municipalities and the government agencies to understand the technology, see the benefit of it, and then want to put a system in place? You know, we talked last week that the commercial where the guy is sitting there saying, okay, we'd like to offer you a little bit of water with an acceptable amount of lead in it. And the guy is like, okay, I'm getting a fresh cup of lead. And everybody's probably seen the commercial. And it's like, no, that's not acceptable. It's not suitable at all. And what are we doing to make sure that these agencies are protecting it? But the problem is it is a big problem because of all the chemicals and all the ways that we're changing our environment and putting in communities and drilling into the planet and putting wells in and running pipes and all. And all the stuff that we're doing is having consequences that are creating new problems. And we have to get in front of these problems, and we have to know ahead of time that if we're going to do this, you know, one of the clients that you guys used to have that was in charge of the topography and making sure that if, you know, he had to look at the topographical maps to see how the waterways were, if they were going to build things, they had to make sure that that wasn't going to have consequences as far as water tables and that kind of stuff goes. Yeah, there's a lot that goes into that. But guess what? If you're going to come into an area and you're going to change that area and you're going to upset the ecosystem, you need to understand ahead of time what are the consequences of disrupting an ecosystem.
And we do this quite a bit. I mean, one of the things that you do is you promote personal responsibility for your health, which is something anybody can do. But something like this is a national problem. And so, I mean, it just points out that we need a national solution to it.
It does, and it requires the masses to get together and to demand a solution and have those in charge be responsible to provide a solution. Safe drinking water is vital to health, and we should all be giving and understanding that we are doing it, and what we're doing is safe, and most of all is transparent. And so we as society, we're 99%. The 1% make the decisions. Well, we as the 99% that are served by those decisions need to demand better decisions. I mean, it was like a couple weeks ago when the president gave his State of the Union address, and he's talking about things that should be applauded by everybody because it's going to make our society better, and half the aisle is still sitting on their hands not applauding because he represents, quote, the other party. And it's like, no, everybody needs to understand that our government agencies are here to serve us, the people. We should have the power, and we should be able to demand that they do what is right, regardless of what the cost is. But we also need to keep an eye on the cost, because like what you're dealing with is you have technology that you have available that could revolutionize a lot of different wastes that we have in this country, and it wouldn't cost as much as what they think it would cost in order to do something about it, but they're not open to listening to a more efficient solution.
And the point is that there seems to be this knowledge or this point of view that a certain level of risk, a certain level of contamination is acceptable in the public forum.
And it's not acceptable, and it never should be acceptable. You know, we've talked about in the past with foods that there's ingredients that are, quote, generally recognized as safe, or GRAS ingredients, G-R-A-S, generally recognized as safe, because nobody's taken the time to study whether it's going to have a deleterious effect. But since it's so widely used and nobody's coming down with these issues, then we just think that it's probably not an issue. But what if it takes 40 years for ingestion of something in order for it to have a negative effect? It's like, okay, this drug is bad for you, but if you take it in micro dosages, it isn't bad for you. No, if it's bad for you, it's bad for you, not whether it's in a little dose or a maximum dose. If it's bad, it's bad. It should just be that simple. But when it comes to making money and comes to making products which will make money, sometimes you can grease the right agency and the problem goes away. When the problem, you can't bury a problem. The truth is always going to rise to the surface.
And it seems that things that used to take 40 years to develop now, you know, we've talked about diabetes before, but type 2 diabetes, which used to be called adult onset diabetes, is now seen in children as young as like 9, 10 years old.
Right. When it used to happen in people 60 or older, now it happens in children under the age of 10, because now it's 6 times, 7 times faster to develop a problem than it was in the past. And that's because there's more than one component to creating that outcome.
So how much of that's food related?
99% of it's food related, but it also has to do with the medications associated with disrupting your digestive system so that the food has that negative consequence. If you just had a healthy digestive system and a healthy microbiome, then you wouldn't have the huge number of negative consequences associated with it. Why? Because your body would be able to manage it, but not with the type of food that we're feeding, and not based on how our body assimilates that food.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Food and Drug Administration's mission is to, quote, protect the public health by assuring the safety, efficacy, and security of our nation's food supply. Is it really able to do that?
Well, what has the news media made us aware of? I mean, what has the sickness found in our society that is food, you know, that's foodborne, say? What's going on? I mean, you hear about these different companies, and it's not my intention to throw anybody under the bus, but there was a particular restaurant that kept having issues with their food and foodborne illness, and they made them close the restaurant down for a period of time, and they had to revamp their whole system. And it's like, okay, why? Well, because they didn't set things up properly. But it was nice that the Food and Drug Administration basically made them have to go through a do-over process in order to open back up to the public, mm-hmm. which is exactly what the agency's supposed to do. But how many times do we hear news stories that say that, well, this food is compromised? I mean, we had romaine lettuce, I think, a couple weeks or like a month or so back that was like, okay, you shouldn't be eating romaine lettuce. And yeah. It's like the whole country shouldn't be eating romaine lettuce? What's going on with that?
It's these great disasters that happen with food where it shuts down the food for so many people.
Right.
And this is all the FDA, which is, you know, they're supposedly testing these things, but yet they are approving a lot of things like preservatives and artificial sweeteners and thickeners and emulsifiers, all these things that are getting into our food that are actually compromising the food that we're eating.
Right, because what is happening is when you put chemical substrates into a natural product, it changes the natural product. And if that natural product that came from the Garden of Eden was designed for us to take because that's how God created it for us, and then we change that, we modify it, we manipulate it, and we genetically modify it, shouldn't we expect there to be some negative consequences associated with that? Man cannot improve upon God's creation.
That's so true.
Man can only try to understand the wisdom of God. But at the end of the day, there's always an ingredient, the God ingredient, that man doesn't have any ability to duplicate. If we took everything that we understand about a carrot, Mark, and we were to manufacture a carrot based upon our highest level of understanding of what is involved in a carrot, would that carrot be the same as what would come out of the ground that God would make?
It would never be as good as the carrot.
Right. And that's just it. And so we need to understand the limitations that we have. It's okay that there's a branch of society that wants to push our limitations and evolve to a higher level of understanding. I'm all for that, but not at the detriment of God's creations. We shouldn't be experimenting on animals, okay, because it's not fair to the animal. And some human beings will say, well, the animal doesn't have a soul, or the animal can't feel the same things that human beings can feel. How would you know? There's no way for us to know. Okay, at the end of the day, they are a sentient being. They are a living, viable creation of God, and we need to be more respectful. You know, we need to apply the golden rule.
Yeah, I mean, you know, now the people who are manufacturing the groceries that we're buying in our stores, they're taking the lead in defining what the standards for those ingredients are.
And I've heard that. And I'm going to defer to what you have researched, because I know you do that research. Mm-hmm. I haven't really looked for that, but now that we're talking about it on air, it would make sense for me to actually go do that research. And the sad part is that it wouldn't surprise me, and that we need to understand that, you know what, the agencies that are making the monies off of the product itself, that's a conflict of interest if they're the ones who are controlling how it goes.
Sure. I mean, it used to be that the cigarette manufacturers were used to make the statements, even in front of Congress, that tobacco was perfectly safe.
Yeah, and we can see how that turned out.
That didn't turn out. That didn't turn out so well. So the FDA also not only overlooks food, but it also overlooks the drugs and all the medications.
Yes, it does. And that's the D in the FDA, and it stands for drug. And so, yes, the Food and Drug Administration is there to supposed to oversee and regulate what is allowed to be used. And the sad part is because now the emphasis is more on the drug part of the Food and Drug Administration and less about the food part is becoming less and less viable, and they're creating more and more drugs for more and more conditions that is a result of having compromised food.
Mm-hmm. So, Bill, what roles does the pharmaceutical industry have in the way food is evaluated?
Well, it's a huge role, since they supply the chemicals that are being used, that are being put into the food in an effort to preserve it. So the same six or seven major pharmaceutical clearinghouses are the ones that provide the ingredients that are used to go into the fillers and to go into the additives and the emulsifiers and all of those things that help to make flour more dense or make it have a nicer texture or make it have a nicer flavor. All of those things. I read an interesting book that I found in a little tiny bookstore in Savannah called Twinkie Deconstructed. And it went into the science and understanding all the ingredients that go into baked products, because, you know, the gentleman who wrote the book, he didn't fully appreciate how to answer his son's question. And he basically showed his son that his dad was not as knowledgeable and as worldly as he wanted his son to believe he was, because his son asked him about an ingredient, polysorbate 80. What is that? And his dad had no idea. So he went on a quest to understand what gets put into our food. And that was a fascinating read.
Wow. So does this mean that no matter what you do, the minute you buy food off the shelves, you're getting chemicals into your body?
For the most part, the answer is yes, Mark. And it's interesting, because I had this conversation with another patient yesterday with regards to organic and what goes into what is being labeled organic. And just because it has organic on the label doesn't mean that it's 100% natural. Okay, it just means that whatever the qualities that go into labeling something organic, I know that if you don't touch the land for 7 years, you can call that land organic. But what if there was a toxic waste dump there 20 years ago?
Right.
You know, so if the land hasn't been touched in 7 years and now you grow a vegetable or you grow something to eat off of that and it's pulling from the toxins within the soil, is that truly going to, it's going to be called organic, but is it going to be healthy?
Yeah, I know that, that certainly certain toxic waste sites that have had long-term problems, and so you'll look at them after they've been even cleaned up, and 30, 40 years later, and when they do measurements on them, they'll still see that there are chemicals leaching into the, not only into the plumes of the soil, but also
into the water tables.
Into water tables and even into the air.
Right.
So these are real problems, and finding solutions for them is something that, you know, certainly that's the mission of this show.
Right. We need to do better, and we need people to be aware of what's being done to us as a whole, and we need to do better, and we need to demand that things are better for us in terms of these manufacturers who produce a huge amount of food for this country shouldn't be given a free pass and just allowed to do a little bit of a tweak. If nobody's going to go in there and verify and understand, you know, what's actually going on. Perishable food is called perishable because it spoils. Well, that's because natural ingredients over time spoil. If you have non-perishable that has an endless number of shelf life, okay, then there's nothing nutritious that's in that, and we shouldn't be eating it, and we shouldn't be passing it off as food. And realistically, the companies that manufacture that, I have a solution, Mark. The companies that manufacture crap food should have to pay a crap food tax, and it's going to be a huge tax, okay? So if you want to eat the crap food, the manufacturer that makes them is going to have to pay a tax on that food. And if you want to double up, okay, you could charge the person who buys that food a larger tax. Didn't they put a higher tax on cigarettes?
They did.
Why did they do that?
To get people to stop buying them.
Right. And also to make it, yeah, to get them to stop buying it by making it out of their affordable price range.
Right.
But it's funny because people still find a way, and they replace the cigarette problem with now the vaping problem, and but you're still getting the same drug out of the whatever you're vaping or e-cigarette or whatever the heck it happens to be. It's like at the end of the day, they're still finding ways to make money. It's like, okay, yeah, we're getting rid of the opioid crisis, and what are we going to replace it with? We're going to replace it with cannabis.
So, well, I mean, one of the things that is at the heart of what you do in terms of your practice is the fact that we're all living in this society. We all live with these conditions that we may or may not be able to change, even if we want to change them. And there's the movement to try to make the changes. But in the situation we're in now, where you're dealing with the foods that are being suffering from the consequences of being irradiated or GMO foods or long shelf life foods, there are ways in which you can deal with your own personal health to bring your health back and to deal with the consequences of the things that you're living with and the conditions of the society we're
right.
in.
Right, and my job is to help you navigate what society is being, make you aware of what society is being, what's being done to our society. My job is to make you aware of what you're doing to yourself that you wouldn't be aware of by going to the grocery store and buying food off the shelf. The effects that it's having on you and what you can do to reverse those effects by reversing what it is that you're doing. And one of the programs I offer in my office is called Shop with the Doc. And that's where I'll actually go to the grocery store with you, and we'll go through and we'll look at what you would normally choose, and then we'll look to see if that's a good, like, good thing to buy, or if there's something on the shelf that would be a better thing to buy as far as your health or as mm-hmm. far as your health concern. You know, people who have arthritis and arthritic conditions, okay, they need to eat a non-inflammatory diet, okay, because if they're eating foods that promote inflammation, that's going to exacerbate their condition. So I can show them in the grocery store what foods they should be eating versus what foods they should be staying away from. And when you go through the store with me and we see these things and they get the understanding, they're really, really appreciative of the fact that, you know what, thank you for sharing this with me, because I had no idea that 90% of what I was doing was exacerbating my condition mm-hmm. because my doctor never told me about it.
Right.
My doctor said, just take this toxic chemical known to have harmful side effects and it's going to make your condition worse over time. Well, the doctor didn't actually say that. The doctor said, here, take this medication. This is for your condition.
Right. Well, this is an important thing because if you can take an approach to your health where you take a proactive approach to it, where you begin to do things to improve your health through the things that you do every day, which are eating, drinking water, breathing, exercise. All these things are kind of at the core of what you can do to improve your health. And in that regard, you may need some kind of support from somebody like yourself who has professional advice, who understands health at a deeper level and can deal with particular conditions a person might have. These are all ways that you can approach health to be healthier, to have a life that you want to live.
Right. And that's just it. You know, God allowed us to be here and we're supposed to live long and prosper and be happy in the process. And if you're not living that long and you're not prospering and you're not happy in the process, then my thought is give me a call and I'll teach you how to activate that part of you so that you can exercise it the way that you want, but exercise it in a way that allows you to be happy and feel good about what it is that you're doing and feel good in your body at the same time.
Oh, this is a great conversation to be having with you, Doc Rick. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the Alternative Healthcare Network.com. When we get back, I want to talk to you some more about this idea that you are what you eat.
Absolutely, but please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Dr. Huntoon is pleased to announce a new program for current practice members or any prospective new patients. It's called Shop with a Doc, where individuals, a family, or other small groups can go to the grocery store or health food store and learn these valuable tips. What to buy to be healthy, what not to buy to be healthy, how to pick out foods specific for your unique health concern, why it's important to pay attention to ingredients, how to read labels, and much, much more. To find out more about Shop with the Doc, call 845-561-BACK or email Dr. Huntoon at docrick@spineboy.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, that is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. And the best way to get a hold of me would be to call my cell phone at 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. Please don't text that phone. It is a phone for speaking, and I would be happy to speak with you. And so far today, Mark and I are talking about what's being done to us and what our awareness is of that.
Well, I think we covered that pretty well, I mean, in the first segment, and you opened up a lot of understanding about what's going on in the food chain. But now I'd like to find out more about what it means to be putting real food into your diet and what different foods you can use to improve your health.
Absolutely. Where would you like to start?
Well, first and foremost, do you recommend eating mostly fresh ingredients?
Absolutely. The fresher, the better. You know, if you can walk outside and pick your breakfast off the tree or pull your lunch out of the ground or go into the barn and grab some fresh eggs that were laid that morning or what have you. Anytime you can get fresh, real food, that's better. But guess what? Not everybody lives on a farm. Not everybody has fruit trees in their backyard or has a vegetable garden in their backyard. So you're going to have to go to the store. And when you go to the store, it's like, okay, well, you want to go grab things that are fresh, things that have an expiration date on them that's like within a couple of days. It's like, you know, you buy milk and it has an expiration date on it. You buy eggs and it has an expiration date on it. And, you know, you can tell when fruit's gone bad because you can see that it's already oxidizing and it's got brown spots and all of that. And it's like, okay, it's interesting because my mother-in-law really enjoys bananas where the skin is completely brown. I personally like bananas where it's a rich yellow. Yet when you go to the store to buy bananas, what color are the bananas typically?
Green.
And that's they've been harvested at least 3 weeks ago, yet they're still green.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so
who's ever eaten a banana off a tree?
Right. I don't know that I mean, I've seen gorillas in the wild eat bananas, but they don't typically grab the green ones. They grab the yellow ones.
Exactly. Exactly. Hey, you mentioned milk. That's an interesting thing because dairy now, here we have these ultra-pasteurized milks that have longer shelf lives. And I know You can even see milks on the shelf that have a really super long shelf life. But I can't imagine that those are nearly as healthy for you as something that's got a shorter shelf life.
Well, what you need to understand is when they pasteurize milk, they superheat it. And the heating process that's involved in the pasteurization actually destroys the enzymes. Now, the enzymes are naturally in there by the, in this case, the cow. The cow naturally produces enzymes in the milk that allow for you, if you consume it, or allow the cow, because cow's milk is primarily for cows.
Mm-hmm.
Goat's milk is primarily for goats. Human milk that comes from mothers, that's for babies. Adults, I don't think, need milk. But we got to support the Dairy Association, so we're going to advertise and we're going to say milk does a body good. But when you pasteurize milk, what happens is you destroy everything that's living in it. Therefore, you're not really getting anything of nutritional value, which is why mm-hmm. they put some vitamin A and they put some vitamin D in it, artificial A and D. And, you know, it's high in protein and it, quote, does a body good. But raw milk, pasteurized, homogenized milk really doesn't.
But then when you have raw milk, there have been all kinds of things where there's contaminants in it and... That becomes a problem for people.
It does if you have a cow in captivity and it's unhealthy and you're feeding it unhealthy food and then you try to get the milk raw from that. Okay, if you have a cow that's out in the pasture and can graze off the grass and it's allowed to roam free and all of that and is not under duress, I'm pretty sure that the milk that comes out of that cow is going to be fine and the cow is going to be healthy. But if we put cows or chickens or whatever livestock in captivity in close quarters, then disease happens because we know that same thing happens in human beings. You put a bunch of people living together in a small confined area, guess what grows as a result of that? Disease grows as a result of that. So what do? We inject the cows with chemicals and medications and we give them special feed and this, that, and the other thing. And then what you're getting out of the cow isn't necessarily what would be ideal. But yeah, what's supposed to happen to fresh food if you leave it out too long, Mark?
It's going to spoil.
It's going to spoil. So is it any wonder that if you leave milk out too long, which is what used to happen way back in the day where the milkman would come and would deliver bottles of milk and put them on your stoop, okay? And they didn't have any vacuum sealing. They actually had like little wrapping over the top of it. And, you know, ideally the woman of the house would be home and she'd get that or she would talk with the milkman and, you know, mm-hmm. all the stories of the milkman and housewives and this, that, and the other thing. But ideally, it should come from the cold truck and be put into a cold refrigerator, okay? And there shouldn't be a lot of exposure to the elements because, again, we know what happens over time. It's going to spoil, okay?
Right.
So
right.
Why? Because that's what nature does. If you don't have it fresh, it's going to spoil. But how do we feed a nation and get it to the milkman can't deliver to everybody all at once. Amazon's going to try to do that, but you can't do that way back in the day. So what did they have to do? They had to make it so that the milk wouldn't spoil. So they superheated it to destroy all the living material in it that would naturally cause it to spoil, just like they take the germ portion off of grains so that the grains don't spoil.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've lost the nutrition.
So you shot yourself in the foot, so to speak.
Exactly.
We talk about fresh food, but what about frozen foods?
Frozen foods is a step in the right direction, okay? If you flash freeze something right when it's picked or harvested or right when it's caught, whatever way, if you're dealing with livestock or fish or whatever, okay, that actually preserves it. It's kind of like traps it in time. But then when you go through the thawing process, if you're going to thaw it, you got to eat it right away. Why? Because you've just opened it back up again, and just the warming of the food itself is going to start the whole oxidation process.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to eat it quickly.
Right. Quickly. Mm-hmm. Are there specific foods that you can eat for general well-being?
Besides real food?
Yeah, I mean, or specific types of real food that are most beneficial.
Yeah, you want to eat lots of fruits and vegetables. I think that's the general rule of society. Get lots of fruits and vegetables. It's at 8 servings a day of hearty fruits and vegetables.
What about whole grains and things like that?
Well, grains themselves aren't necessarily good for the body. They promote in the whole grains now, they're not real. They've been genetically modified. They have been genetically modified for 50 or 60 years. Corn, everybody knows corn goes in whole and comes out whole. How does a whole corn go through 26, 28 feet of digestion without getting touched at all? It's because the body looks at it and says, there's nothing here for us. You get a free, just go right on, just keep going. Just mm-hmm. find your way out the back end. And so it does. And so what they've done with wheat, what they've done with corn, what they've done with soy, what they've done with all of the grains, if they're staples within our diet, within society, you're not getting any true benefit from that. But that doesn't make the Grain Millers Association very happy. But you got to understand, if you've destroyed your product, then why should people eat it? It's illegal to bleach flour in this country.
We do it all the time.
Yet they do it all the time because they ignore the Healthy Food Act of 1908, which says that you can't change food if it's going to change the way the consumer processes that food. So having processed food that ignores the Healthy Food Act is what everybody thinks is acceptable, and it must be good because the government approves it. But the government mm-hmm. has no idea what real nutrition is or how to maintain people health-wise, because if they did, we wouldn't need the whole drug portion of the Food and Drug Administration. We wouldn't need drugs because we wouldn't have problems. Eat real food, you won't have problems.
You know, it's interesting because some years back, I went with my family to a historic site, and one of the things, it was an old granary, and they grew wheat on the property, and they still did as part of the historical component of the place. And they had the original stone mill that they used that would just turn around and would grind the wheat. And you could actually purchase a bag of
fresh
wheat.
Ground.
I've never tasted anything in the way of wheat that tasted as really wonderful as that wheat.
Right, because it still had the germ in it. But here's the truth. If you took that home and you put it in your refrigerator, which is where you should keep all your perishable flour-based mm-hmm. products, so mm-hmm. your nuts or seeds or all of those things, keep them in there. Why? Because the oils go rancid. And what they found back in the day when every town had a miller, you'd go into town and you'd go to see the millers because they would be the ones that would mill the whatever you needed.
Sure.
You would take that home, and you would buy enough that would last for about 5 to 7 days. Do you know why it was limited to a 5 to 7 day supply? Because the oils in the grains that they were milling would go rancid, and then your flour would start to taste bitter, and the bread that would come out of the oven or the muffins that would come out of the oven wouldn't taste as good as if you used fresh flour. So this was before they had a thing called ice boxes, which eventually became refrigerators. Okay. Once they had refrigerators, okay, now you can put your grains in your refrigerator and they won't go bad because the oils won't go rancid.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? Not everybody had a refrigerator. So they had to figure out, well, how to take the bitterness, how to take the rancidity out of the flour. So they got rid of the germ portion, which is where all the nutrition is. That's the reproductive cycle of the plant. That's where all the nutrition is. The starch portion of the grain is the fuel to feed the seed. But it's not, if you don't have the other ingredients, then nothing really grows. If mm-hmm. you take a seed that has no germ in it and you put it in the soil, it's not going to grow because you need the germ portion of it. That's where the life force is, okay? But the starch itself is devoid of nutrition. It's pure sugar. So when you're taking starch that has been refined and processed and bleached and all of that and long shelf life, mm-hmm. of course it has a long shelf life. So when they started mass producing food, they got rid of the millers. Because now you could go to the store anytime you wanted and you could buy flour that was sitting on the shelf and it would be good 6 months from now, a year from now. So it didn't matter. And all the millers went out of business as a result. And we've created health problems as a result of putting the millers out of business.
Well, it's interesting. It makes me think that when you think about an egg, a chicken egg,
mm-hmm.
That the yolk is what, if it's a fertilized egg, that yolk is what becomes the chick that's born. And the white of the egg, the clear part of the egg, is what the nutrients that chick will be consuming while it gestates.
Well, at the end of the day, the white is the protein and the yellow is the fat. And it's actually those two ingredients themselves that come mm-hmm. together to form the chicken, okay? But there's no carbohydrate in it in an egg, okay? Because the protein and the fat is primarily what gives rise to the life of that fertilized egg becoming a chick and then becoming a chicken.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But it's interesting, once the chicken's hatched, what do the farmers typically feed the chicken?
Grain.
Grain, right.
They fatten it up.
And it's like, okay, yeah, and what do we feed cows in an effort to fatten them up? And it's like, okay, well, if we know that this fattens up livestock, then why are we as human beings eating it and then wondering why we have obesity?
Well, this is a great conversation, Dr. Rick. We need to take another short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I do want to ask you some more questions about the foods that we're eating.
Absolutely, and I hope we get into talking about what you can do to fill the gaps in your diet. But please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Dr. Huntoon is pleased to announce a new program for current practice members or any prospective new patients. It's called Shop with a Doc, where individuals, a family, or other small groups can go to the grocery store or health food store and learn these valuable tips. What to buy to be healthy, what not to buy to be healthy, how to pick out foods specific for your unique health concern, why it's important to pay attention to ingredients, how to read labels, and much, much more. To find out more about Shop with the Doc, call 845-561-BACK or email Dr. Huntoon at docrick@spineboy.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you are listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. The best way to get a hold of me is to call my cell phone. I'm happy to share my cell phone number with you. I will be the one answering the phone. So if you want to talk, please call my cell phone. It's area code 845-561-2225. I make myself very accessible to you if you want to talk. Again, 845-561-2225. If you don't want to be so intrusive, send me an email. Please don't ever text me. My phone doesn't receive texting. But you can email me at docrick@spineboy.com. That's D-O-C-R-I-C-K at spineboy.com. Or you can email me at spineboyhv@gmail.com. That I get anywhere in the world, spineboyhv@gmail.com. And it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding what the concerns that you have. So, Mark, we've been talking about food, what's been done to our food. We've been talking about natural food versus completely refined and processed or crap food.
Well, one of the things that we realize that with the food, we're not getting all the nutrition that we need. So one of the things that we could talk about is with what's happening in the food supply being compromised, let's talk a little bit about food supplements.
Food supplements, a very, very important topic. The food supplements are there to supplement your food for what the food doesn't contain. So if we were talking about wheat and how wheat has had mm-hmm. the germ removed from it in an effort to create a shelf life, and what they do to enrich that wheat, okay, is they add some B vitamins and some iron to give it some level of nutrition that's going to help a person not completely die from eating wheat and flours and those kinds of flour-based products. But in a perfect world, if you were to eat food from the Garden of Eden, it would have everything that God would want you to have because God created the Garden of Eden. But if you're not eating from the Garden of Eden or the Garden of Life or all these different garden products, companies that are out there, you need to actually fill the holes in. So if we take certain ingredients out of the food to give it a long shelf life, then in order for your body to process that appropriately, it makes sense that you would need the ingredients that they removed, okay? So whole food supplements have all the missing ingredients because they're made from whole food. There's no heat involved. There's no light involved in the manufacturing process. So you're not denaturing any of the heat or light sensitive vitamins. So you're getting everything in it that nature would ask you to have mm-hmm. minus the water. Mm-hmm. And when you take those in minute dosages and you replace back what has been removed from the food that creates the shelf life for profit purposes, then you're now giving your body everything that it needs in order to sustain and be healthy.
So, I mean, there's a difference. We've talked about this before. There's a big difference between the kind of vitamins that you would typically buy if you were buying a multivitamin and a whole food vitamin. The nutritional value of a whole food vitamin is completely different. So when you're supplementing your diet, if you're not getting that whole food where you get all the ingredients necessary to allow your body to do what it needs to do to absorb the food, you don't get the full value. So
no, you also create problems because it's pretty simple. You do the same thing that I do. Well, actually, you do have one on, but it's one of those cool newfangled watches. You have what is your watch called?
And the iWatch or iWatch,
mm-hmm. Apple Watch, whatever. I don't know. But old school, the old school watches that we had, what part of that watch told time?
The face of it, the hands
right.
on the face.
But what actually maintained the time?
The spring.
Everything behind the face.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take one of those springs out, would it tell time?
Not at all.
Not at all. Okay. So it's all the pieces that go into the mechanism that allows for the watch to tell time. Every one of those ingredients is important. If you take one of the ingredients out, what happens to the watch's ability to tell time?
It doesn't tell time anymore.
Okay. So if we equate that to food, everything that's naturally in your food is there for a purpose. You have vitamins, you have minerals, you have trace minerals, you have cofactors, you have enzymes, you have other components that we don't necessarily have names for or don't mm-hmm. even understand what they are because we don't have the science to identify them. But suffice to say, when I gave the example about the carrot, if a man-made carrot versus a natural carrot, they're not going to be the same, they're not going to taste the same, they're not going to have the same effect. Well, the same thing with any other of our foods. If we refine the live component to take a perishable food to make it a non-perishable food, then it's missing the part that spoils or perishes. Okay, that's where all the actual nutrition is that gives body function. So to eat fresh fruit that was just picked, you picked it and you ate it, you got the most amount of nutrition possible. When you take it away and it starts to spoil, now you're getting less of the ingredients. When you take all the live ingredients out of it, now you're getting no ingredients. So if they put back artificial ingredients, you're going to have problems. So whole food supplements are there designed to put back the ingredients that nature would intend for you to have to make your food complete again based upon what they did. So it's putting back the ingredients that were taken out. A smart person would say, well, I need those ingredients. So yes, taking a whole food supplement that's going to put back the ingredients is a vital part of my health maintenance program.
It rounds out the full value of the food that you're eating.
Right. So you get the full octane out of your fuel as opposed mm-hmm. to a reduced octane that causes the whole engine to sputter.
So, I mean, now you see all these other supplements, you know, these liquid supplements for people that want to lose weight or, you know, have enough energy and things like that. Those, I can't imagine that those types of, you know, liquid diet augmentations are really healthy for you or giving you what you need.
In the grand scheme of things, which one of those ingredients actually exists in nature in a liquid?
It's hard to know. I have no idea what's in those ingredients.
Right. But I would say that none of it does because you have to go through a manufacturing process in order to create the liquid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So your vitamins don't come in a liquid form. They come in a food form.
Mm-hmm.
Your minerals don't come in a liquid form. They come in a food form. Your trace minerals don't come in a liquid form. They come in a food form. Now, they can market it any way they want. They can come up with some compelling arguments. They can tell you that they have science that says that their ingredients work better than the other leading brand's ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be true, okay? But at the end of the day, if nature didn't grow it the way that God intended for nature to grow it, not what we've done with wheat and with mm-hmm. corn and soy mm-hmm. and with some of these other ingredients, okay? When man has gotten in the way of it, you're not going to get what nature would ask you to have. If you go to natural, if you go to 100% real food, pure food, natural food, God-made food, okay,
mm-hmm.
then you shouldn't have problems. But because of what we did have done to the soil, because of what we've done with the pollutants in the air and the acid rains and all of these things that go into the ground because of how we've ruined our planet, okay, even if you're eating high-quality food, you could still have holes in your diet because maybe you're not eating enough of the right ingredients and you don't have enough variety in order to get all the right ingredients, okay? My wife likes a lot of variety. I like basic stuff. I'll eat the same thing every day, okay? My wife likes more variety. So she has a higher degree of likelihood of getting a well-balanced amount of ingredients because of the different varieties, okay?
Mm-hmm.
For me, I definitely have to be mindful of what it is that I'm doing because if I'm eating these ingredients, I may be creating deficiencies in other components that I'm not getting from these main ingredients that I'm eating. So supplementing is so, so vitally important, but you want to go with a supplement that's made from real food, not something that's made from a bunch of chemical isolates.
Now, what about supplements that are made with herbs? I mean, herbs have their own issues, especially for somebody that's taking any kind of prescription medication. There may be contraindications
with
herbs.
Well, there may be contraindications, and the challenge is what is what is a more natural solution for you, a medication or an herb?
I would think an herb would be more.
Right. And if you know of somebody that actually understands herbs and is an herbologist and understands the herbs and what's in the herbs and the different concentrations and the different soils that it was grown from and the different waste products that are absorbed up into it versus the nutrition that should naturally be there and all of that, when you understand that, okay, it's probably better to go with nature than it is to go with medication. But what they say is medications, we know what's in the medication. We also know that if you add these ingredients, that it may not make the medication work the way that it's supposed to. So it's in their best interest to say that taking herbs is bad for you because if you're taking medication, then the herbs may screw some things up. Well, what if you didn't take the medication because the herbs aren't going to hurt you?
Right. Right. If you're taking both and then you give up one, you give up the medication.
Right. But the doctors will browbeat into you that you can't ever stop this medication. There's certain drugs out there where they'll tell you if you stop, you're going to have serious problems. So don't ever stop taking this. So my thought is if that's the consequence of not taking it, once you start taking it, why start taking it?
Right. Well, then there'd be a process of having to wean yourself off of something like that where you can't just necessarily stop it.
Right. Right. But your doctor isn't going to want to help wean you off.
And so if you are considering taking supplementation, and you even if you're taking whole food supplementation, you really need to have some kind of professional guidance.
You need some professional guidance. And to be honest with you, you need somebody that's in the arena that actually has an ability to evaluate whether something's appropriate for you or not. There's lots of highly educated people out there who can give great advice. Okay, but if they are not a healthcare professional, in spite of all their education, okay, they're not liable, although they should be liable, for recommending a product that they don't necessarily know what kind of effects it's going to have on a person. So there's a gentleman friend of mine out there, Peter Broadhead, who's in charge of Brighter Day in Savannah. Okay, wonderful man, very educated man. He does his education when he's driving in his car. He's always listening, always getting deeper understanding, and he probably should have different degrees in various components, okay? And that's wonderful, but at the end of the day, Peter doesn't treat people for a living. His business is his food store and his vitamin store and his herb store and all of that, and it's a wonderful resource, and I refer people to him all the time. Why? Because the patient already goes there to get there. Good, get this supply. Go get this. Talk to Peter about this because he may have four or five different options. Get the one that he recommends because he knows his products. But this is the product that you need and this is the product that's going to work for you. Mm-hmm. That's my expertise. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you need somebody who has the expertise. And part of what I do is I evaluate somebody for a product before they actually are asked to take the product to see how their body feels about that product. And when you evaluate that before they take it, then you can have a higher degree of understanding as to how the body's going to respond.
Well, that seems so important. And certainly, you know, as we finish up today's show, if somebody is out there considering taking some kind of whole food supplement and is looking to get the kind of advice that you're able to give so that they know not only what to take, but how much of whatever they're taking. These are important questions to be able to have some certainty about what you're doing.
Absolutely. And it's important to monitor the person because as their health improves, the amount that they may need to fill in the holes is going to be less. So their dosage should change. And you need somebody that has the ability to properly dose you and understand what the interactions are and understand that taking these two or three or even four supplements are all going to work synergistically as opposed to have battles going on in between. And I have the expertise and I have the techniques that will help a person understand that. So as a courtesy to my new patients, I tell them to bring me anything that they're currently taking. And part of the evaluation is to evaluate, are the things that you're taking appropriate for your condition? Maybe they're appropriate when we've gotten a little bit of improvement. So good, put them aside for now. You're going to need them in a few weeks. Let's fix what we need to fix. And then that will actually help to maintain that fix as opposed to if you're taking it now before we fix it, it's going to make you feel better, but you're going to be tied to it for the rest of your life, and then that's not any different than medication.
Well, that's really great. And I would recommend anybody that's out there today listening to the show has a question. You have always made yourself available, and I would suggest making that phone call, giving you a call and getting the answers you seek.
Absolutely. The best phone number is my cell phone number. It's area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. I'm happy to answer your questions. I'm happy to give you the understanding so that you can go from being a passenger on your own health to being the driver of your health, to being in control of your health. And if you're tired of being the passenger and your doctor being the driver, I'd like to get the doctor out of the driver's seat and put you in the driver's seat of your health. Please give me a call. I want to thank you for listening to our show this week. I appreciate your listenership. Please tune back in next week. Same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying, I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.
What started out as a headache has become a pain in the butt. What was just an itchy finger now is a swollen foot. Doctor, I've been out of breath and I've never walked up a hill. Avoid all diet and exercise, I'd rather give you a pill. The thing is, there might be some side effects, you mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill.